This broadcast is a presentation of Kingdom Impact Ministry and is made possible by the grace of God, faithful prayers, and gifts from partners and viewers like you.
Are you fighting spiritual battles that you seem not to be able to overcome? Are you been pushing, it seems like, against the wall in every area of your life? Hi, I'm Andrew Nkoyeyo, and today I want to share a message to show you who the enemy is and how to defeat him. Today's message is entitled Victory Over the Destroyer. And who is that destroyer? The Bible calls him Abaddon or Apollyon, and I'm going to break it down here today. You see, Abaddon in Hebrew means destruction, place of destruction, the realm of the dead, and Apollyon is the same as Abaddon, except this is Greek, and it signifies destroyer. So I want you to stay with me, because in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, verse 11, this is the what the Bible says. Let me read the verse and then I'll expand on it. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss. You see, Abaddon, Apollyon is the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon, that is the destroyer. Okay? And his role, okay, his role is to embody destruction, chaos. Now, have you been going through situations where you're seeing like the enemy is come against you to steal, kill, and destroy your life, your marriage, your finances, and everything in between that you lay your hands on? Dear friend, this is the enemy. You see, the first rule of any warfare is you gotta know your enemy. You cannot fight an enemy you do not know. And in Christendom, we focus a lot about, you know, Satan, and we cast Satan, and we cast Satan. But specifically, when you are fighting a spiritual battle, you want to get deeper to know, because Satan has armies, he has generals, he has all kinds of really entities, personalities, and these have ranks, they have names. And when you're beginning to deal with him and all his cohorts, you gotta know who you're fighting with, so you know how to defeat them. Amen. So right now, we are talking about, you know, Abaddon or Apollyon. His job, really, his main role, how he operates, he's the king of the abyss. He rules the abyss. And his job is to bring chaos, to bring destruction, okay, influencing spiritual realms and human conditions. This is what he does, and I'm going to show it to you here. But first, I want to point you back to the truth of the New Testament, okay? In John 10:10, you see, all truth is parallel, okay? And this Abaddon or Apollyon, you know, Jesus calls him the thief, okay? He's like the biblical thief. Reflects the destructive nature mentioned by Jesus in John 10:10. The thief comes, now listen to this, only to steal, underline that, kill, and destroy. You see, Jesus is connecting from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. Now he's beginning to highlight who this enemy is. Okay? Most of the time we use words like Satan, you know, the evil one, the enemy, but we have to put a name if we are going to defeat this enemy, and then to know what does this enemy do. Okay? So Jesus says he's a thief. Okay? Why is he a thief? Because he comes to steal first your faith. Okay? He wants to take away your confidence in God. He wants to take away your trust, your dependence. He wants to wreak havoc on your obedience, so you will not walk in obedience with God. So he wants to first kill your faith. And then he takes away your vision. What God says about you, what God says about your present, about your past, about your future. You see, he wants to steal your faith, kill your vision, and then by doing that, he will have destroyed your destiny or your purpose. Okay? And the word destroy, you know, from the Greek or the Hebrew, really the general meaning is to render invisible, to render unrecognizable. Now, listen to this. The enemy, you see, most of the time when we think of destruction, we think of something wiped off of the face of the earth. No, it means that he's going to take away your ability to be effective, the ability for you to be recognized, the ability for you to be successful, to be victorious, to live the abundant life. That is the work of this thief. And the Bible calls him Abaddon, Apollyon, okay? And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, okay? But Jesus says that I have come that you may have life, okay? And have it more abundantly. So this is the solution. He says, this is what the thief is going to do. But I have overcome him, and I have come so that you may have the victory. So we can have the victory. So today, I want to equip you for that victory. Dear friend, whether you like it or not, Christianity is, we are in spiritual warfare. This is spiritual. We have an enemy. Okay? There is a spiritual battle raging in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realm. There is an enemy who is against you, whether you believe it or not. Okay? But now, we want to see, how does he do this destruction? How does he attack us? How does he bring this chaos? Okay? He comes to, through torment, through destruction, he targets the well-being, the peace of humanity, introducing torment. Okay? And I'm going to show you. Now, if you please read the whole Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. Okay? It says that Abaddon or Apollyon serves as the ruler of the abyss who commands the locust swarm, symbolizing divine instruments of justice or of judgment. The locusts, empowered not to kill in this particular instance, but to torment those which represents an intense period of trial for those who are not sealed by God. In Revelation, now I don't want to go into eschatology or the end times, but you see, even in the end times, at the end of the age, Abaddon comes to bring torment. Now, in this instant, he's not, you know, killing, but he's tormenting those who are not sealed by God. Okay? This is the enemy. This is our arch enemy. Now, there are many other demonic spirits that we could, you know, we'll uncover in the coming, you know, months and as we go on. But I want you to stay with these, you know, people talk about the Jezebel, you know, people talk about all, but you gotta know first who this is, because I'm gonna show you all the other demons get their command under Apollyon or Abaddon. Okay? And I'm gonna show you. So in Revelation 9, you know, read the whole from verse 1 all through 11. He releases torment upon those who are not sealed by God. In Joel chapter 1, verse 4, okay, this is what he says. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the whooping locust has eaten. And what the, you know, whooping locust left and the destroying locust has eaten. You see, all these. Now, in Revelation, he says that he commands, he's the ruler of the abyss who commands the locust swarm. So now I want to show you in Revelation, in Revelation, you know, there are different kind of locusts that are targeting, you know, bringing this torment, bringing destruction, and there are different kinds of them there, okay? But you see, he is behind this, he is the commander, so to speak, okay? And then in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, you see God, you know, all the enemy came, Abaddon, Apollyon, he came and he attacked, he wrecked havoc on God's people. They ate everything, you know, destroyed everything. And then God comes with a promise in Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And he says, I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten. Okay? He says, I'm going to restore those years. The grasshopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. Now, it means that, you know, again, to read the whole context, just go read Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2, you'll get the whole context. When they rebelled against God and they turned away from God, God removed his glory. And so the enemy really had a field day. That's why, you know, I'm going to show you, you know, just praying and casting and, you know, binding is not enough. You got to stay in God. You got to be, you know, you are in Christ, but you got to be and located and stay located in Christ where he can touch you under the blood, under the name, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he says, I'm going to restore. You see, it is not them restoring, but God says, I'm going to go after this enemy and I'm going to restore everything he took away from you. Dear friend, this is your time of restoration. I want you to put this in your spirit. This is your time. This is your hour. But you have to be vigilant. You have to be a warrior. You have to shift, okay, from having a spiny, you know, this spaghetti backbone to having a kingdom dominion backbone where you can look devil in the eye and say, devil, your time is over. Okay? We have allowed him. Now, when you know who he is and what he does, you know, it's not your fault. The things you have failed, you have struggled, you have been through this and that. It's not your fault. There is an enemy. You see, there is an enemy. And so, but now we see that God is going to fight for you. And I'm going to show you here, dear friend. God is going to fight for you and he's going to fight with you. Okay? And so God says, I'm going to restore those years. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11, again, Abaddon is in the same sentence with hell. Okay? Sheol, Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of the children of men? In Job chapter 26, verse 6, again, it is hell is naked before God, and Abaddon has no covering. In other words, God can access, God can touch him, God can destroy him, you know, and this is the thing. Right now, Satan is not his time to be judged, the eternal judgment. That's why we have to bind him and cast him for until the day of judgment, right? So it's, sometimes when you are trying to judge the devil, you can't judge the devil. That prayer is not going to get answered because it's unscriptural, it's unbiblical. But we cast him. We take over the authority. We get into the place of our authority, what Christ has redeemed for us. Okay? And that's where we operate. But we see here that Abaddon is not like he's untouchable. He's touchable. He says he has no covering. He lays open before God. Okay? And he's open before you and I. But we have to know the weapons of our warfare and how to begin to use them. Okay? So let's shift now. Okay, we know who the enemy is. Okay, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal your health. He comes to steal your finances. He comes to steal your peace, your joy, your destiny. You see, the devil is after your destiny. What is your destiny? Have you given up on yourself? Have you given up on what God says you are? Please, dear friend, do not give up on yourself, because by doing that, you're allowing Apollyon to come and take over your destiny. But Jesus says, I'm going to restore. So we can really believe that the same thing he did for Joel in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, he's still doing it. He's restoring those years that the enemy has stolen from us. Okay. In Proverbs 6, verse 30, you know, it's not on your screen. It talks about the restoration, the sevenfold restoration. It's time to start, you know, reclaiming. Okay. Jesus has won the victory for our healing. Okay. How does Abaddon afflict us? How does he bring torment? Through sickness. I believe the spirit of infirmity is under the command of Apollyon. I believe the spirit, anything. Now, let's make this plain and simple. Anything that brings destruction and chaos. Okay. I want you to just see that. You don't even need to pray anymore. Anything that you see that is bringing destruction and chaos, you know that's the work of Apollyon, that's the work of Abaddon, and he is the thief. He's coming to steal your health, he's coming to steal your peace, he's coming to steal your joy, he's coming to destroy your destiny, your legacy. God has a legacy for you. God has a destiny for you, dear friend. And he's going to try to fight you left and right so you don't step into that destiny. That's why knowing who the enemy is and knowing what Christ has done in our name and in our place is very key.
Okay?
Because Jesus says that, yes, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. So, let's shift to enforcing this victory. Christ has won the victory. Okay? He has come to give us life and life in his fullness. Okay? Some translations say. So, we step into that fullness. The first point I want to make is on how we overcome, how we enforce this victory is by basically accepting Jesus' triumph in our name and in our place through death and resurrection. Jesus disarmed and triumphed over all powers of darkness. Okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Dear friend, you got to believe this. You see, all this stuff will work for you if you believe it. If you believe that Jesus won the battle and even the war in your name and in your place, and all you have to do is to enforce it, what I'm preaching to you right now is going to work for you. But if you do not, then it's not going to help you. But first, let me show you, this is the word of God. This is the truth. Okay. He says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he disarmed Apollyon, okay, and the Abaddon, and infirmity, sickness, disease, failure, depression, anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life, any aspect of your life. He says, having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them all, triumphing over them by the cross. Did you see it, dear friend? By the cross, Abaddon, Apollyon was disarmed. He has no power. He only has the power that we let him have. Let me say that again. He will only have the power that we give him access to. When we begin to walk in doubt and unbelief, in fear, and not walking in our true identity, not walking in our true authority that Christ has given us, we give him room to operate. But Jesus says that, I mean, this is what Jesus has done. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle at the cross when he triumphed, when he said it's finished. Dear friend, it is finished. So that is number one. You got to know that you are victor in Christ. When Christ came out of the grave, you came out of the grave. When he ascended and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, you are sitting at the right hand of the Father. You know what? That's why the Bible says that we are seated in the high places with Christ. Why? Positionally, physically we are here, but positionally in the spirit, in our function, in our operation, our authority is not of the earth. Our authority is of heaven. And in the spirit, we rule and reign with Christ right now at the right hand of side of God. And I'm telling you, you and I have the power, have what it takes to overcome the enemy. Okay? We have been granted authority. We have inherited authority. As believers, we share in Jesus' authority over death and demonic forces. As believers, everything that Jesus has belongs to us. Oh, yes. He says that all things are yours because you belong to God and to Christ, and Christ is God's. And Jesus says, it's not on your screen, in John 20, verse 20, he says that as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Okay? As he gave everything he gave me, I'm giving to you. In all this power and authority, you know, I know we love Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We quote in Sunday school, but there's so much power if you get a hold of that scripture. When he came out of the grave, he says, all power and authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Why? Because he has disarmed all principalities and powers on earth. In the heavenlies, he has power, and he has given you that power to use it through his name. Amen. Revelation 1 verse 18. He says, I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the key of death and Hades. He says, he has the key. And he shares that key with you and I. You see, this is the authority we have inherited. We don't have to struggle for it. We don't have to go work for it. We don't try to be good to get it. We have it. But the fact that Christ has paid the price, has died in our name and in our place. Here's another truth. In Luke 10, verse 19, he says, "Behold, I give unto you authority, delegated authority. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, the powers of Apollyon, the powers of Abaddon, and nothing shall hurt you." You know, I've run into so many Christians who won't confront the enemy because of fear of, you know, of the warfare or the retaliation. That's baloney, dear friend. Whether you like it or not, he's gonna beat you up. So you might as well, you know, get him before he dies. You see, he says, "I've given it to you." This is not something that's gonna happen at some point. This is not something that you fast and pray for. Okay? I know many people say, you know, "I pray for authority," but he has given you the authority. You see, there are some prayers that won't be answered because they have been already answered. Okay? You can pray, "God, give me authority." He's not going to give you authority because he has already given it to you. You just need to pick up the mantle and begin to walk in authority. And then, I think what you are saying is, when you're asking God for authority, is, "Holy Spirit, help me to activate." That's what you're asking. But the authority itself, you already have it through the name, through the blood, through the keys of the kingdom. He says, "I've given you the power to tread on serpents, to crush, to trample the serpents and scorpions." And those all are symbolic of infirmities, of demonic spirits, really, of Apollyon and all his courts. That's what it is. And Jesus says, "I've given you the authority. I've delegated my authority to you. Use my name, use my blood, use my word. I am with you to the end of the age. I want you to go and rule and reign as if I was here." See, that's what he's saying. And so, dear friend, the reason we fight and we don't break through is because we quit fighting. Just before we break through, we quit fighting. We say, "Oh, I've been going through this so long. I haven't seen a breakthrough." We give up, and just before, when we are on the cusp of the victory, of course, you know he's gonna fight back. He's not the Lion of Judah, but he's like a roaring lion. You see, he's not the lion, but he's like. Okay, so he rules by fear and intimidation. So once you know who the enemy is, like we are unpacking right now, you know that he's defeated. Okay. That's, you know, how you got to enforce the victory. He's defeated. You know, you have the authority. Okay. Now let's go into some of the practical things you can do to begin to continue, you know, enforcing this victory. You got to first continue to live in Christ's fullness. You got to embrace and actively proclaim the abundant life Jesus provides for you. And I know, because our walk is a walk of faith. You have to declare it. You have to speak it. You have to let the devil know that you know, that he knows that you know. Does that make sense? You gotta let him know that he knows that you know. You see there, that's why even in the Bible, he says, you know, "Paul, I know. Who are you?" Jesus said, "No." And "Paul, I know. Who are you?" You see, there comes a time, dear friend, when the devil knows your address because he's afraid of you, not because he just knows it because he comes to torment you and bring chaos and beat you up. He knows it because he said, "Oh no, I don't want to stop by that house. I don't want to touch it." Because he knows what he's going to get. So dear friend, Jesus came, John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it in fullness." You gotta begin to declare that over yourself. You gotta begin to speak it. You gotta stand in the mirror and begin to look yourself in the mirror and begin to speak this life over yourself and say, "Devil, you have trespassed because I am an overcomer and I have the victory that Jesus won in my name and in my place. And through his blood, I take it back now." And you begin to take it. Name it. Write a list if you want and begin to take it back. Take everything back. In Jesus' name, through his blood. Okay? Second point is, you gotta learn to put on the full armor of God. Okay? Before you start binding and breaking and all that, put on the full armor of God. That's why he said, put on the full armor of God. Nobody goes really to battle without being fully armed. Okay? And many Christians I know, they, you know, that's why, they, of course, you go out there to beat him, you have no armor at all. Of course, he's going to beat you up. See? You got to put on the full armor. Ephesians 6, 12 to 18. Okay? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, okay? Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, your enemy are not your friends, not your neighbors, not people at work, not whatever it is that you may be going through. It is, there is a spirit behind it. And Apollyon is the commander in chief, okay? Because he's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anything that brings destruction, chaos, torment, affliction, depression, squish your faith, squish your joy, your hope, is behind it. And we hear Paul, he tells us who the enemy is. This is what we fight against. We fight against Apollyon. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. You got to start with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, and having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. Okay? That's another thing that you and I need to engage more. You got to pray more all the times in the Spirit with all prayer and with all supplication. Okay? But first, put on the full armor and then begin to pray. In other words, let your heart and your mind and your body be a vessel for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you in the coming. How is the Holy Spirit your prayer warrior? How is your Holy Spirit your protector? Okay? He is your intercessor. He knows how to fight. As a matter of fact, before we are done now, I'm going to show you. When the Bible says that the Lord rebukes you, who was he talking about there? What was he talking about? Who is that Lord? I'm going to show you. You see, when you know how to fight, it doesn't mean that the enemy is not going to, he's going to come. But you are always going to know how to fight, and you are going to have the victory. Doesn't matter whether it takes a week, takes a day, but you are going to have the victory because you are applying the principles of warfare that God has given you. This one, everybody uses it. Evoking the name of Jesus, command authority over demonic forces in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 all the way to 11 tells us that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. I remember encountering back in Uganda a Satanist, and he told me after we had led him to the Lord, and he told us about some of the satanic rituals, and they are told never to mention the name Jesus. And by accident, one of the recruits said, they were talking about who the enemy is. And he said, well, those people who follow Jesus by accident, it's like everybody fell prostrate. It's like they were out for hours. And then when they got him, they told the young recruit, he said, we don't use that name here. It's so powerful. You see, we have the name of Jesus. But sometimes it's like it has lost his power in the way we use it because we don't believe it. We don't believe the power that is in that name. But dear friend, I have triumphed over Satanists, shapeshifters. I've seen healings and deliverances. I've seen all kinds of mountains. God do all kinds of miracles in the name of Jesus. But you have to treasure that name. You have to revere that name. And you have to receive. I mean, if you need a revelation, ask the Holy Spirit to impart to you, afresh and anew, a revelation of that name, Jesus. Did you feel the anointing? Jesus. Shikarabakande. When you begin to know the power in that name, dear friend, miracles begin to happen. Okay? There is power. Oh, this fourth one. I'm telling you, dear friend, if anything else fails, use this fourth key, the blood of Jesus with the name. You see, the blood of Jesus, the devil cannot touch anything that is standing with the blood. He cannot stand in a place where the blood of Jesus is. He cannot. I have done deliverances on every level, and every time I feel like I'm not getting anywhere, I evoke the blood of Jesus. And guess what? All of a sudden, the lieutenants leave and the strong man shows up. And then I say, okay, I'm going to give you the blood of Jesus. And I mention the blood of Jesus. I release the blood, power of the blood of Jesus. All of a sudden, like that, demons leave. Okay? If you don't know how to use the blood, you can go read my book, Catch and Release God's Supernatural. The blood of Jesus. You got to know how to use the blood. Plead the blood. Use the blood. Release the power of the blood as a shield over you, over your family, over your household, over everything. But release the power of the blood and power through the blood. Okay? When you can't sleep, you know, soak yourself in the blood of Jesus. When you're having nightmares, say, devil, the blood of Jesus is against you. Let me go. And you release the power. You know, one night I was sleeping and you know, the Bible tells us, like, you know, like Songs of Solomon chapter 2, it's like, even though I sleep, my spirit is awake. Your spirit is awake even as you sleep. Your spirit can discern. So I began to feel in the spirit there was something entering the house, entering, you know, the room. So I woke up and I said, devil, the blood of Jesus is against you. And I could hear, you know, doors slamming. And this is in the spirit. Dear friend. Yeah, and I know. You might say, whoa, that's weird. Yeah. Instead of me having nightmares, my spirit was awake and discerned something, the atmosphere, something demonic, something satanic was entering into our home. And I said, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. And I heard door slamming, bam. And I went back to sleep. You see, sometimes because we don't know the weapons we have, we keep on fighting battles we don't need to be fighting. We just need to use the weapons that we have. Amen. So the blood of Jesus, use the blood. Okay. I have other teachings in the books, how I teach you how to use the blood. Use the blood of Jesus, because the spirit and the word work with the blood. Okay. The spirit of God answers to the blood. Okay. And I teach you, you know, in the book. So use the blood. Number five, binding and loosing. Okay. Exercise your delegated authority. Again, as you're using all these keys we have said already, you are binding and you're loosing. Matthew 16, verse 19, I'll give you the keys. Okay. Other translations say, behold, I give you the keys. You know, this is not something that's going to happen. He says, you know, this is something that's already happened because Jesus has already given us the keys and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay. And instead of crying out to Jesus, we can use the keys with his name. Okay. So you bind and loose. Okay. Using the blood, using the name. After you put on the full armor of God. Okay. Sickness, disease, give it a name. Whatever it is, don't just bind and cast. Give it a name and then cast that personality behind it. Rooted in Apollyon, rooted in Abaddon, rooted in infirmity, fear, doubt, and unbelief, you know, cancer, rooted in Apollyon, you give it a name and you cast it out. You know, you apply the blood of Jesus over yourself and then you cast it out over anything. Okay. And then you cast it out. This is how you use the keys of the kingdom. Jesus has given them to you, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, you need to let that sink in. If you don't bind here, nothing is being bound in the heavenly realms, because God is going to dispatch his angels to begin to bind and fight your enemies. But you got to fight here. It's like a commissioning. When you bind, the angels move on your behalf. Okay? But when you stay quiet, they don't move, because it's a commission. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in the heavenly realms. Okay? You gotta really put this in your spirit, dear friend. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in the heavenly realms. In heaven, all things are yours, but in the heavenly, right now, this is a spiritual battle that we are waging. And you fight with spiritual powers, spiritual entities. You gotta know this. That's who your enemy is. Okay? And Jesus says, whatever you bound, it's gonna be bound. Whatever you loose, it's gonna loose. So you need to learn how to bind and loose. Again, I teach you that. Get into, you know, our stuff. Get into catch and release. I show you exactly how to do that. But you gotta know your enemy. You gotta know how to fight. You can't just depend on your preacher's anointing or your pastor's anointing or whatever. That is good. Community is good, but you gotta know how to fight. We are in the end time. And I'm telling you, the enemy is coming against us as believers because he doesn't want us to take the territory. Because if you can become who God says you are, then you become dangerous. He doesn't want that to happen. Okay? So his job, again, remember I told you at the beginning, of this broadcast is he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? Oh, this is another key. Number 6, engage the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Engage the Spirit of the Lord. And here I'm only scratching the surface. Okay? Isaiah 59 verse 19. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. Let that sink in. Okay? Here, he's saying there's divine protection for you. There's divine deliverance. There's divine intervention. Have you been experiencing attacks of the enemy? Do you feel like he's been squeezing? I know I've been going through some stuff where I felt like, and you know what? I have invoked the Spirit of the Lord. I've said, Spirit of the Lord, raise up a standard. He says that when the enemy comes, now listen to this. He didn't say that you should cry or should, you know, moan and groan or complain or whatever. He says the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Again, I'm going to teach you this in my new book, Beyond Ordinary. Okay? I know I feel like I'm plugging my resources, but I'm writing this stuff. You know, I just have to be honest with you. I'm writing this stuff to equip the body of Christ. Okay, so I'm not ashamed to tell you, you know, I'm going to show you how to experience the Holy Spirit and every operational aspect of the Holy Spirit. In this case, we see that the Spirit of the Lord provides protection. We see that the Spirit of the Lord provides intervention. He fights for you. Okay, as a matter of fact, when in the Bible, you know, it says that the Lord rebukes you, Satan, the Lord rebukes you, I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord who was doing the rebuking. Okay? So you can engage with the Spirit of the Lord to rebuke and to fight and to raise a standard on your behalf. But again, you're going to engage it. And what I've found out, that many Christians don't know how to engage with the Holy Spirit. You know, we know the Holy Spirit. We cry about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is his general name. But what about all these other names? That's what I labor to show you. Because when you know that the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of the Lord, his operational name, the Spirit of the Lord, part of his function and his operation for you is to give you protection, is to fight for you, is to move barriers, is to break down barriers. Now, when you begin to release the Spirit of the Lord, you're going to begin to see breakthrough. Oh, dear friend, I'm telling you, this is simple. Even now, you can even pause this teaching and say, Spirit of the Lord, whatever it is I'm going to, Spirit of the Lord, I need your touch. Spirit of the Lord, raise a standard against this infirmity. Whatever they give it a name and ask the Spirit of the Lord. You know the floods, so you know how the enemy is coming against you. You can ask him right now, Spirit of the Lord, raise a standard according to Isaiah 59:19. Kaba Rabashi Ikoto Roposh. In Jesus' name, there's power. Oh, I feel the anointing is like a river going through me right now. There's somebody watching that the Spirit of the Lord is touching you with emphysema right now. Your lungs are being opened up and there's breathing coming to you by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, dear friend, the Spirit of the Lord is there to heal, to deliver, to set the captives free. I'm going to be doing just a separate broadcast just on the Spirit of the Lord to show you how do you engage it, because I found out. I was talking to another minister the other day and it's like, wow, They don't teach you these things in Bible college. Of course they don't. I've been there. Many of those guys are teaching stuff they have never done. Nothing wrong with Bible college. I've been there to several of them, as a matter of fact. You know, but you need to know these things because this equips you. We are here to equip you for the life, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in you and for you and through you. Okay? This is how you overcome. Engage the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? And then strengthening through spiritual discipline, like prayer and fasting. Matthew 17, verse 21, Jesus said, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. It didn't mean that the prayer and fasting is going to take out, overcome the enemy. It's just that when you pray and you fast, you posture yourself, you align yourself, you know, when your flesh is weak and your spirit man is more receptive and more open to God, there's power, more power is being released, more anointing. You are more receptive, you are more yielded. Because when you're weak, then you're strong. That is in the spirit. Okay, dear friend? So you use prayer and fasting. There are some, you know, there are some that won't go out except you've been through some prayer and fasting, you know. And we see Daniel did, you know, he prayed and the answer was released the same day. But then the prince of Persia was in the heavenlies, okay, opposing. But he continued persevering in prayer and fasting. And as he continued with prayer and fasting, then God sent Michael. You see, dear friend, this is warfare. It's not just about yelling and screaming at demons. It's about us walking in the authority we have. You're going to find that as you walk in the authority and you exercise the authority and you activate this authority that you have already, you're going to find that sometimes, you know, I mean, I've been in rooms where I walk into the room and demons leave. Because you know what? They know somebody with authority is in, they leave. You don't even need to cast it. But that comes because you have been doing it and doing it and doing it. And that comes a time when they say, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. And then you can fill in your name. You see, dear friend, what we are talking about is not some, you know, pie in the sky dream. This is reality. This is the Christianity that God has given us through Jesus Christ. It's a Christianity that overcomes the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. I'm so pumped up to equip you. I'm so excited. I believe, God, this year is your year of victory. You know, the Lord gave us a word at the beginning of the year. If you haven't watched our prophetic word for 2024, He said it was going to be a great year of the demonstration and of the manifestation of the Spirit. And He has pressed on me. I can't explain how strong He is, but He has pressed on me to equip the body of Christ to know the person of the Holy Spirit and how to work with Him. If God can work with me, I'm not there. I'm your fellow traveler on this journey, and I'm sharing my experiences of what I've seen, of where I am, and what I believe God wants to take us. You see, we are on this journey because God wants to transform the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of our Lord. And it's not going to happen just because we have what I call a spiritual picnic Sunday morning. It's going to happen when you and I are fully mobilized, fully equipped, and fully activated to defeat the enemy at every turn. Amen. And the last but not the least, is you gotta get in community, fostering community that is going to support you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12, he says, though one may be overpowered, two defend themselves, and the cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In other words, where there is like-minded community, you are always going to overcome. That's why Jesus says, where two or three, he didn't say one, he says, where two or three gather, I'm going to be there. He was talking about community. Where there is people that agree. Dear friend, that's another way. When sometimes you're going through stuff, you're going to need to be among people that believe what you believe. People that are going to stand with you. People that are going to pray with you. People that will fast with you. And people will push back darkness with you. Okay? You can't be a lone ranger and live a victorious life. At least not on this level we're talking about. Yeah, you can be religious, But I'm talking about being full of power to transform your environment, transform you, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you so you can be a transformer of your environment. You need a like-minded community. So ask yourself, who are those people that when I'm going through stuff, I'm talking about stuff, when you have to push, you know, push is the acronym for pray until something happens. When you have to pray until something happens, do you have a community that will not just say, oh, hi and bye, but I'm talking about people that will starve themselves and fast and pray and be on their knees and be with you in the trenches. That is community. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear friend, I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray right now. You have been experiencing the effects of this Apollyon, Abaddon, and all his works that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You have been experiencing chaos right now. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray for you. Lay hands on your heart, on your head, wherever you want to. I just want to release the anointing right now. I soak you first in the anointing and in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I release the power of the blood upon you. Every listener and every viewer, in the name of Jesus, and I bind and break in the authority of the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, every spirit of destruction, chaos, torment, depression, infirmity, sickness, and disease, right now, in the discouragement, suicide, I bind you, break you, and render you powerless in the name of Jesus. And I release the mighty work of the Spirit of the Lord to manifest miracle healing, deliverance, and supernatural intervention in every aspect, in every area of your life, of your ministry, in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friend, before I finish, you are watching, but you say, brother, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. This is the time. This is what the Bible, let me read you the scripture here. It says, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You have to believe what Jesus has done in your name and in your place, that you were a sinner, you needed a savior, and Jesus came and died in your name and in your place to satisfy the wrath of God that was coming against, that was coming to you. If you believe that, you confess it with your mouth and then believe it in your heart. And verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. As simple as that. Right there where you are. Whether you're driving, whether you're listening to me on the podcast, you are watching me right now, you can just pause this video and say this prayer, and just say a prayer, or just play the video, rather, you know, and just repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I need a savior. And I know you died in my name and in my place. Please save me. I give you my heart. And I confess that you are the Son of God and that God raised you from the dead. Today, I turn over my life over to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may do your will and write my name in the book of life. Jesus, thank you for the gift of salvation. Dear friend, if you have said that prayer, you are what the Bible calls a Christian. And Jesus has come into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Now, go find yourself a Bible-believing church and get plugged in. And go to our website. It's on your screen. And we have content. We have messages to help you on your journey to grow from where you are to becoming who God wants you to be able to fight the fight that I'm talking about and to live the victorious life. May God bless you. And I invite you, you know, to go into the School of the Anointing. Go read my book, Catch and Release God's Supernatural. I have a new book that is coming, Beyond Ordinary. Go order it, and I'll sign it for you and I'll send it to you. And as you're being blessed, I encourage you, give to our ministry. Pray for us, give to our ministry. Come join us. We pray every Tuesday and Thursday. Come join us, you know, wherever you are. It's a prayer call. You can come in. We would love to have you. So I invite you, you know, love our broadcast, our podcast. Give it a thumbs up. Give it a good review. Join our YouTube and get on our email list so you don't miss new broadcasts. We love you and we look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you.
As a believer, the keys to the supernatural are in your hands, and with them you can access your inheritance. In his newest book, Working the Works of God, Dr. Andrew teaches us how, through the glory of God and his anointing, we are empowered to move past our human abilities and function in the supernatural realm, where nothing is impossible. Order your copy today. To become a Kingdom Impact Ministry partner or sow a financial seed, call us toll-free 1-855-41-VOICE. That's 1-855-418-6423. Or log on to www.kingdomimpactministry.org.
Watch Andrew on the Kingdom Come broadcast 24/7 online at kingdomimpactministry.org and on our Kingdom Impact Ministry TV channels available on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Android TV. To stream on the go, get the Kingdom Impact Ministry mobile app for Apple and Android devices from the App Store today. To receive prayer, order resources, or to become a partner with Kingdom Impact Ministry, call us toll-free, 1-855-41-VOICE. That's 1-855-418-6423, or visit us online at kingdomimpactministry.org. You can also write to us at Kingdom Impact Ministry, P.O. Box 2073, Montrose, Colorado, 81402. This broadcast is a presentation of Kingdom Impact Ministry and is made possible by the grace of God, faithful prayers, and gifts from partners and viewers like you.